One is that we're going to decide who our finalists are going to be. And second is then we're going to discuss the process a little bit tonight to agree on how we're approaching the rest of this.
Okay.
So after our discussions, do we have any motions on candidate number four? Okay. Do we have a motion on candidate number five?
I motion candidate number five.
Second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, so that's our first finalist. candidate number six, do we have a motion?
I'll move candidate number six. Let me bring him back for a minute.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, candidate number seven. We have a motion. Okay, seeing none, candidate number eight, do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Candidate number eight is invited in. Candidate number nine, do we have a motion?
Motion,
not?
Candidate number nine.
Second.
Okay.
Second was
Councilor Kelly. Yes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So candidate nine's invited in. Candidate number 10?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilwoman Michelson and a second by Councilman Kelly. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? And I guess that's the end of the book. So those are the candidates we'll be inviting in for finalist interviews. Can we have Colin? Did you have something to add?
I was just going to say I will check with each of the candidates tonight, make sure that they're still in, and then tomorrow we can announce the names.
Okay.
Press release.
Good deal. Okay, so now we need to discuss process. Kelly, you have a handout.
I want to go a little bit further with that particular comment. So we can release the names. Do we also have like a 2 or 3 line bio that is, or have you already developed, or could you develop that for us? This is so-and-so front from such-and-such, or I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to use the cover memo that I sent. I don't know.
That's the kind of summary you're talking about?
Yeah.
Pretty lengthy.
That's probably okay.
Maybe we'll cut out the ones that we're not using.
Yes, this paragraph is 10, 12 lines, probably not too long. I'm thinking the press is probably going to want to say a little bit about these folks, but this is sanitized. Well, you'll go through this and make sure it's okay to pass it
right.
To the public.
I was going to say the other thing we could do is just release the resumes with the...
What is it required? I'm looking at our city attorney. Do we have to put, I don't think we have to release resumes, because resumes sometimes have...
We have issue material, but if the candidates are okay with it, we could...
Ask them first.
I'll ask them tonight when I talk to them.
Yeah. Because I don't feel like we need to do that at this point. Maybe, well, I guess we're getting kind of close. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out.
If we
want to be transparent, but I also don't want to out somebody with something on their resume because I didn't read it. I don't know if they submitted it in terms of this is going to go out to the public or if this was applying for a job. So maybe they want to do something. I don't know.
I'll ask. If all of them agree, then we'll release all the resumes.
But in terms of the press, you're going to be able to, tomorrow they'll have some names and this little short paragraph.
Right.
Probably good enough for those guys.
And
okay.
I think I've got pictures for just about everybody, too.
Yeah, I had asked him to do that some time ago with no, I had no idea.
Ready for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Because I think it's important that everybody gets the information at exactly the same time. So, and if somebody changes their mind, then their information doesn't have to be released. Okay, so some things Landy would like us to do, and this is his order, paying for candidate spouses on an airline flight. We're not paying for first class. They certainly have more than a week to get their airfares. Colin, do you have an opinion on this?
Yes, I mean, I recommend it because if you're going to hire somebody, they're going to want to have the spouse see the community. Now, anybody's local, obviously, they already know anybody's coming from out of town. May or may not be familiar with Mill Creek or comfortable. So it's just nice that if the person gets the job offer, you know, spouse, honey, whatever, what do you think? And of course, they'll probably already be on board because they will have seen Mill Creek, they'll be familiar with it. Yeah, let's go. I think it also shows that the city is very serious about the manager search and getting the right fit, and that, you know, you're willing to spend a little extra money. It's not going to be that much to bring the spouse in so that the spouse can actually get a feel for the community. And I think, you know, you're not going to make the decision based on the spouse, but I think it's nice to actually see the spouse. Usually the spouse sometimes you almost feel like they're the better half, you know. It's kind of funny. But I think it's a good practice, and I recommend it.
And what we're planning to pay for already is the airfare of any candidate that may be coming from outside the area. And
you're really talking about two candidates.
And the hotel rooms.
Well, you're going to pay for the hotel bill for the candidate spouses.
Right.
You're going to pay for a meal or two, probably.
Okay. So how does the council feel about that?
Okay, so I'll throw it out there for counter-argument. You guys know me, I'm a tight with the penny. So I'm tight with the penny. So I'm concerned that is this, and I'm going to turn to the city attorney here in a second. I'll say a few things, and you can ask, they can help me out maybe. I'm concerned about spending public money on spouse or not, depending on who these people have, whether their spouse wants to come or not, whether they have a spouse. We're not really even supposed to ask questions about their marital status. We're not supposed to make judgments about anything like that. So number one, we got to be careful how we ask that question. Does your spouse want to go or not? Or your significant other or your partner or whatever it would be. Then somebody says, well, I got a little kid. I want to bring them along or not or whatever. I just don't even want to go down that path. I guess I'm old school. The customary is if I want to go look for a job, that's great. If I want to pay for my and the company pays for me to go do that, that's great. If I want my spouse or my family or my significant other or whoever to go with me and evaluate where we might live, that's my nickel for my spouse to go along. Yes, that spouse probably gets to stay in the same hotel room, gets to use the same rental car, but their meals and their airfare is on the candidate, because if they want to evaluate this as a place they want to live, that's up to them. So I'm coming from in the first place of we're paying for the candidate to get here in time for Thursday events and Friday. And they're probably, if they're flying from out of the area, they probably have to go home Saturday. But I'm looking at, that's the minimum that we're responsible for to have this person come. But we're not interviewing the pair of people. If there's a pair, we're interviewing the candidate to do this job. But you can argue around that, or city attorney can tell me if I'm wrong first.
Yeah, you certainly cannot discriminate based upon marital status, and you shouldn't ask questions about marital status. Just as you were raising that, I was thinking you guys shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't be asking you, or you shouldn't be verifying whether they have a spouse or not. And maybe it's better just to say one other person, you know, to the extent they're flying out, and bring somebody else who you're not getting into, whether it's a partner or, you know, some other unmarried status, if you want to be cleaner that way. And then we don't tell you, but we can say you and one other person. And then they can submit expenses, you know, travel expenses for themselves and one other person without us getting into what their marital status is. That's one way around the potential discrimination issue.
Okay, Councilman Cavallari.
I would just say that I'm okay with paying with the spouse. I mean, it's the other half. I mean, she helps make the decision as well, whether she or he, in this case, makes the decision on whether or not it's a good fit. I would note this for legal purposes that The candidates we are talking about, I just went back and looked, have included on their resume or in their packet their marital status. So it's not like we're prying in there or asking the question, but simply offering the opportunity to accommodate.
Because they've already offered that. Good.
Brian, did you have?
I think it's worth our money to pay for it. Make sure that there's no questions if there's a candidate out here and there's no potential family issues or hesitancy if they want to take the job. So if all the five candidates we had selected were coming from out of town, I might be more concerned about the pennies. Given the slate we decided to bring back, I'm not sure it's worth worrying over in this instance.
Is this customary, Colin?
I'd say it's half and half. I mean, some do, some don't. I recommend it, but that doesn't mean everybody always follows my advice.
Sean, then Don.
Thanks. I do agree. It does sound like a good idea. However, this will be the first time I've ever heard of a spouse accompanying somebody on a job interview. That was paid for by the entity that they're interviewing. Most places, I just don't think do this. I would prefer to interview the candidate, have the candidate decide whether or not this is the fit, and communicate that to their spouse, and they can make that decision whether or not they want to make the job. Or have the candidate bring their spouse with them. That's sometimes people do that too. That's fine. If it's a deal breaker, I'm not sure that, you know, $350 airplane ticket should be a deal breaker, but if it is, I'm not sure that's the candidate I want to interview in the first place. You know. As far as meals and lodging, I think that it would be fair that we pay meals and lodging to bring them out here to interview the candidate.
Okay, Don?
Thank you. I'm not in favor of paying the airfare or the person that comes along. I guess spouse would be the word, but we can't use that word. Somebody might want to bring their bestie along for a fun trip to the Mill Creek area, and we couldn't say a word about it.
Right.
So, in principle, they want the job. The salary's very lucrative. You want to take, you know, if you're really serious about the job, bring your other person with you and pay the load. I don't want to use taxpayers' money to pay for a spouse, or another person to come with the candidate. It's not in my taxpayer money. I'd rather not do that. Of course, the lodging and the meals would be taken care of by us, but not the airline flight. Mm-mm. Or any expenses for the person they bring along.
Yeah, I can't think of going back to, you know, so Sean, you're working for a big company, Boeing. You know, would Boeing bring out a spouse? I don't think so.
No,
and so you decide to bring your spouse along or your significant other or whatever if you want to make that decision. But I know we've all traveled on business for the city or for other agencies, and it's pretty strict on, yes, your spouse can come with you, but absolutely none of their expenses better slop over, et cetera. That's in private sector. That's a public sector. So I don't see how we can justify. I don't see how I can justify spending any public money on this. Whether it's a good idea or not, I appreciate Colin's recommendation, and I could see there'd be some value as an extra selling point, but I just can't do it with public money, so I'm going to vote no.
I'd just like to say that Boeing moved my brother and his girlfriend and had no problem picking up every nickel, and it was thousands, and flew them out to look at South Carolina. But that said, I don't think anybody's going to make a decision to move someplace without their partner, their spouse, their significant other. I don't want to lose a candidate for an airfare. I don't have a strongly held opinion, but I certainly do not object. It costs us far more to have the wrong person in a city manager's position than an airfare. So anyway, Don?
Thank you. This is one item that I will be voting no on as far as paying for the other person to come with. This is one item that I could not look my constituents in the eye and feel good about it, saying, yeah, we did pay for the other person and their expenses and their meals. Well, why? Because the majority voted. I can't do it, so I will be voting no to provide the other person's expenses.
We don't have a motion yet. So the only person we haven't heard from is Mark.
Oh, I apologize. Whoever that is shouldn't have done it. Sorry.
So I agree. Just as a matter of principle, I think might as well get them on page with our fiscally conservative ways right out of the chute.
Okay, so it sounds like we do not have a motion and we will not be paying the airfares. For the spouses, number two, how to fit in the feedback comments from director interviews to the council. Currently, until a council approves it, the five candidates will be meeting with the staff, department heads, on Thursday afternoon before the reception and talking with them. And the question is, how do we get the feedback and get the benefit of what they had to say? I mean, we're on a pretty tight schedule. So depending upon the other decisions that we make. So do you have any idea of how we're?
We talked about that with staff and Landy and Kelly earlier. And our thought was that perhaps either the staff as a group could come and have, you know, we've got the interview scheduled for Friday, and then there's a meeting afterwards for discuss next steps, possibly make a decision. What we did not like Terrace was Scott Hugel with the interim manager and informed the council what the staff's feelings were about each of the candidates. The alternative would be to ask the department heads as a group to come in and relate their feelings. Yeah, that probably the easiest way to do it is just to do it verbally in executive session.
Yeah, Mike.
So we just went through this with community transit, and I'll just, I like what we did there, but I'll explain what we did. We had a panel of staff met with each of the candidates on the Thursday afternoon equivalent. Then that group met with, it turned out to be a subset of the board. It was the personnel committee. That's a board of nine. Everybody couldn't be there. We did that Thursday because we used that information to inform us on what questions we should ask on Friday. So staff could say, gosh, I'm concerned this person doesn't have enough finance background, or this person didn't seem to understand which end of a sewer pipe to blow into. Those kinds of things. I'm just joking, but it was, we used the staff's input to say, and they weren't voting yes or no, we like this person. They were only going to talk about strengths or weaknesses or questions, but it gave us something as the board the next day to make sure we asked the right questions to probe. So I don't really like the idea of having the staff input at the end. I like it to help us make sure we have a good interview on Friday.
How about like between 5 and 6?
That's what I wonder if there's a way to do
it. Yeah, before the reception, because I too would want to know.
Sure.
What things? So would an hour with the staff, and would that be sufficient?
Oh, I would think so.
Okay.
I think so. We did like half an hour, 45 minutes, and we had four candidates. And so they were able to kind of give us, here's pluses and minuses on those. And it was a good way to feed it back into the next process.
So how about 5 to 6 before the reception?
So special meeting for that hour for executive session.
Well, you're going to have a special meeting anyway,
yeah,
because we're
right, like 5 to 5:45, so we know we're done and we can take a break. And
but when are the candidates going to be with the staff exactly?
The afternoon.
Oh, okay. And who is included in that? Is it department directors or direct reports, or who's going to be involved?
I believe it is the department heads. And
directors or departments?
Yeah, Landy relayed to me department directors, and Pam and I would be on the panel.
That's what you told me.
Yeah.
So direct reports.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So I think it's important that these potential candidates kind of meet the management team. So it's important they meet them either through presentations on here's what our department does when we familiarize the candidates with what we do in the city, and or through a panel of candidates or of staff people. But one way or the other, I think they need to see all the people we're talking to.
Sure.
They might be working for them. And I think those people all have some valuable input on their particular area of expertise and what they're from.
So anyway, they're going to get together in the afternoon.
Okay. And so they'll just be kind of walking or doing. Okay. So 5 to 5:45, we can have the people that had that opportunity come in and talk to us as a council prior to the reception.
Right. And you'll find some place to meet, because this stuff is going to be cleared out, people, yeah, and however we're setting up the reception.
Yeah, one thing I want to get your feedback on is whether you want to hold it in this room or next door in the annex building.
We got five people. Maybe you're saying maybe that big annex, even though it's a little bit noisy, that's a bigger room to wander around, have five different people operating, because this is pretty
right.
Tight.
So there's the upstairs room where we've had a retreat. There's no windows up there, but it is a large room. And then there's obviously the community room. I'd have to see if we have conflicts in there, but the room upstairs is carpeted. It's going to be a little quieter than that community room. It gets loud with all those, a lot of
the room upstairs is big as the community room?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's bigger.
Is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's where we had that, remember that?
I just remember how big it was.
Well, it's
inviting, who are we inviting from the community, and how are we getting that out?
We've invited everybody. It's been in the press. We've
okay.
been encouraging people. I assume that all the council members will reach out to people and invite them to come, people who you want to hear from. And then there's going to be a sheet like you used before to score up. That'll go to Colin, who will report back the results to us the next morning. We're going to meet in the morning, depending upon how we approve the schedule, so we can get the results back of what people in the community had to say. And there may be people outside of the community. You had a list of 12 people you wanted at one point to be involved, so.
Oh, okay, I've forgotten that.
So the reception is
early on, when we first started, yeah.
6 to 8?
Okay. That's the public reception. And please invite everybody that you want to be there. But it's been in the it's been in the media. You haven't written about it?
No.
Because it hasn't been really set up.
It hasn't been announced somewhere.
I think
we talked about it a lot, but you never sent out a press release.
Okay. There's a reception on the 16th from 6 to 8.
Hey.
Everybody's invited. The Costco cookies.
So we have our usual press release, like the MCCA, that'll go out to Kelly, is that right, Kelly?
Correct. Yeah,
yeah, so automatically a press release will go out to everybody.
Yeah.
On that list, okay.
But the trick is it's short notice.
It is.
Because the view is, well, maybe Fred will cram it in tonight, but the view comes out this Friday. Brian, I'm sorry, we're talking to the press here too, but do you guys have another issue between now and then?
April 17th.
That's not, but you got it online. You have it online.
Yeah, I have it up now.
That's speedy.
And it's been in my column in both papers, so I think it'll be plenty of time. I mean, we get,
yeah,
you know, the hard part is scheduling five candidates in 2 hours so they get to do a presentation. I believe last time you had each you only had two, but each one did a presentation for an hour, so we're not going to be able to do that this time if we have 2 hours.
You're talking on the public one? They're going to do a presentation, not just mull around and chat?
Well, I mean, we should see.
No, yeah, that's my question. Is that,
no, they should say something and speak. And
to whoever's there.
Whoever's there, okay. And then have some time for questions and answers, because we want to see how they handle themselves.
So how long are we going to be invited to speak then, if it's 6 to 8?
Usually, I think what we do is we just kind of have them do like 5 minutes about themselves. It starts at 6:30, and it's, you know, we'll be done, say, in this case, 5 to 7. You want to throw some questions in, and probably tell them to do a 3-minute presentation on who they are, and then be ready for 7 minutes of questions or something.
Yeah. That'll be by the, not by us, but community members will
yes,
be an opportunity.
Yes, not us.
Okay, gotcha.
And each one should, they shouldn't all be in the room listening to each other at the same time. We should, you know, that was the reason not to do a panel, is because by the time you get to the fifth person, it's like, me too.
Well, you rotate it.
Yeah, but it was, we'd like time for, it was effective, I thought, to have people talking.
And just have the other one step away, just like when we did the council interviews.
Is there another room we could have that you want?
Yeah, we have another room there, don't we? We own the building.
And yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Okay.
I think that room is going to work best as far as a lot of people. And then I can have the candidates even around the corner, they can come in during their time. Logistically, that room's going to work better, I think.
And then bring everybody in for a mingle, so if people want to go and approach candidates.
Unless you feel strongly about this room, we'll make this work.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
They'll be in this room to meet the staff.
Probably want to start the presentation maybe at 10 after 6, something like that. Then give everybody an hour afterwards to talk to the candidates.
Because you need time afterwards to mingle.
Yeah.
And those cookies. Yep.
And then we also can have our executive session to hear from staff here.
That would be, yeah. That would work out great.
And we can just walk over to the annex, right?
Right.
Yeah. Perfect. That's the 16th.
Hey, on number three, one of the things that I had talked about with Landy is if we wanted them to have a written exercise, for instance, a problem. We know our finance director is retiring on July 1st. What would be your process or your approach to filling or not filling? But that's something that we have to know. Now, we can ask it during our questions, but it was, did we want to see a one-page, maybe two, how they would handle it, how they would do a staff report to us, because we hope to be reading lots of staff reports for the next 6 years. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Colin. It looks like in the summary material you've got here, you asked the candidates to answer 5, 6, 7, 8 questions or something or other.
Yeah, probably.
So that is that their writing or did you edit that? Because
No, we did not edit it.
So that is a writing sample of what they did. You gave them 10 questions and they all kind of answered them. You guys didn't sanitize it or cut it down or anything.
And you're not unlike what you'd face in a work situation.
And to clarify, that's the candidate introduction that they wrote, correct?
Yeah.
At the time, I didn't know what we talked about. We didn't know what we were getting. So if everybody's happy with that as a writing sample?
I think the writing sample, I guess I'm convinced I know enough about these folks' writing samples from what we've seen that I'm not going to make them do it again in the short amount of time.
Okay, number four, finalized structure of council interviews on Friday, April 17th. So these, the talk had been one-on-ones and a panel with all of the council, or just panel interviews.
Where's this is under tab four, right? Was the
no, we're on here.
Yeah, but this was a schedule that was thrown out there to look at.
We recommend the one-on-ones, and there's two reasons for that. One of which is, I think a city manager is a council relationship is like a marriage. And if I say somewhat jokingly, you wouldn't choose your wife based on it. I think what ultimately makes or breaks a manager is the chemistry that individual has with the council members one-on-one. And the very best managers will have great chemistry with you all. They'll have great chemistry with the ones that come after you. It's just the way it seems to work. But you need to test that chemistry one-on-one, I think. The other thing is that people are different in this setting versus one-on-one. And one of my favorite stories, I'll tell you a quick one, was Don Cooper when he interviewed Yakima. And he came out of the interview on the panel and to full council. I said, Don, you've got to be more passionate. You know, you show more energy. And Don said, you know, I spent 20 years learning to develop a straight poker face on the dais. responding, you know, when people would say dumb things and such. So when I'm in a council meeting, I'm poker face. He's a different guy when he talks to you one-on-one. And a fair amount of your interaction is going to be one-on-one. And so I think it's important. And I think it's important to see them in the three settings, the reception, the one-on-ones, and then the council, because there's three different aspects of being a city manager. And you'll see the fourth one because you'll get the feedback from the staff.
Colin, I would echo your sentiments there. I have separate questions for each candidate, probably between 8 and 10 for each individual candidate according to their answers and whatnot, and things I'd personally like clarified that may be a group setting or we can discuss later. But there were some certain questions that I did have for them, and they may answer different publicly or privately, and we all get different reads on people. I prefer that sort of intimate relationship that you may develop. I think it's we do have to work together, and I'm already burning my vacation time to do it, so that's how committed I am to the one-on-one. I think it's probably the most important aspect of it.
Here's the counter argument. I want to make sure we've got enough time as a group to have to get deep enough, and I want to see how they interact with other people, because I don't want to get to the end of the day and go, oh, I had a great time with this guy, and somebody else says, oh, I absolutely couldn't get along with that person because of their individual interactions. And what's ultimately, when it's down to it, this person is going to have seven bosses, and the seven bosses have to work together with this one person. And so I want to see him work with the seven of us, not strike up a relationship with Mike or Brian or Donna and have a good deal going. But when it comes to, because they're reading us, and well, this is what Mike wants to hear, this is what Donna wants to hear, this is what Brian wants to hear, but that may not be the situation. So I don't want to get to the end of the day and go, Vince goes, I had a great time with candidate number seven. And I go, I couldn't get a thing out of seven. What's the deal? And we spent all of our time discussing why our individual interviews didn't go well. So I see a lot more value in the panel. I do respect what Colin says. It is, there are times when we want to have a good relationship, and it, kind of for the candidate, they want to know they understand us. But I'm a little worried about spending a lot of time on the one-on-one. For me, if I was setting this up, I would say I want about zero time on the one-on-one. I want all on panel time, because we've got five people, hour and a half each. That's the whole day.
Donna?
Struggling with.
Yeah.
Doing both.
The one-on-one concerns me just a little bit, because all of us have such different personalities, and my personality, it sometimes would want to do maybe a little chit-chat, because that's kind of the way I am. And there's not going to be really... That's how I would get to know the personality of the candidate. I don't know that it would be great value for me to be able to say, God, this one guy, he's a runner. I was talking about the trails in Mill Creek, and I told him he should try them out. And, you know, I mean, I might get too personally involved. And without an attorney present at every interview, you know, I would hate to have one of the candidates say, well, geez, Michelson asked me this, and I was like, I didn't mean it that way. I really didn't, and nobody was there to really understand what I was asking, you know. And I want everybody to hear my questions. I want everybody to hear the candidate's answers. I don't want any interpretation, because like Mike said, you know, candidate seven, man, I just couldn't get this one to, you know, quit idling on the on-ramp. And, you know, I'd rather have everybody have the same piece of information. And I, you know, the way all these privacy laws are these days, I don't want to be in a one-on-one setting at this point. And I know at one time we had issues with one-on-one interviews with our previous city manager, so I'm not comfortable doing one-on-ones.
Yeah, Councilmember Holtzclaw.
I think you're all right. I'm What I just noticed is I don't know that I have 45 minutes of questions for each council member. So what I'm wondering is what this schedule would look like if we cut them down to 20-minute one-on-one interviews and use that extra time so that we as a council have more time in a panel setting with each candidate.
So I like it, but just make it 30. Because 20 is a good target, so just make it 30.
Whatever, I don't know how the schedule would look, but that's what I would suggest, is because I do see some value from meeting individually with everyone. I just don't know that I have 45 minutes of questions for five separate interviews. So maybe we shorten that down to whatever, 20, 25, 30, whatever you make it, and so we have that one-on-one interaction time, but we have more time to talk to these people in a group setting.
Yeah, I like the one-on-ones with the panels. I think that's the best of both worlds. We've had advice from the city attorney. I'm not worried about making a mistake. If somebody doesn't want to do one-on-ones, that's their choice. But I do believe that the candidates are interviewing us to see if we're a fit almost as much as we're interviewing them. And so I like the idea. You know, you start asking questions and you have your follow-ups. I just find that the panels won't meet that need for deeper knowledge, but I like seeing how they react with the council as a whole. So I think this hybrid where we do a half hour is fine with each of the candidates, and then we also have the panels, gives us the best of both worlds. So, Donna?
Thanks. So how would we go about reporting to the full council how we felt, what we learned from our one-on-ones? Where does that time frame come in?
After we get done with the interviews and the panels, we're going to caucus and see where we are on the candidates. We will make our final decision probably on April 21st. Personally, I'd been hoping that we could meet on Saturday, but we have two council members that have to work and are unable to get time off. So, but Friday, after we get done with this, we'll caucus and see where we are. Do we need more information while the candidates are still available? And share what we know. And then on the 21st of April, the Tuesday, we will have a special meeting, again, executive session, to attempt to reach, to review the qualifications and attempt to reach a decision.
Would we make up our own questions for these candidates on the one-on-one, or would we have similar questions, just getting a feel for how they're responding, or would we just do our own questions?
We have questions available if you don't have questions, and if you have areas of interest, you can ask your own. And then the panels, I believe, we discussed having all the same, Mike, isn't that? We'd have all the same questions, so it would be fair.
I think it makes sense to make sure we ask the same 10 sure. questions in the panel, or you know, take turns, pick questions off the suggestions from Colin, or create our own, but make sure we ask the same question of everybody so we don't go, we don't know what Candidate 4 said.
Okay, so I think that's a really good idea. So it gives us the best of both worlds.
But in the one-on-ones, you're free to direct them to the candidate specific, because you might go through this packet and say, tell me about this article in the paper where you and the mayor had an issue. But that would apply to another candidate, so that person would be, yeah. I noticed you have a long commute throughout this commute. Why you chose to do that? I mean, that's of interest.
Of interest to me, that I would ask that during the one-on-ones, but we'd have a canned set of stuff we use for the panels in the afternoon.
Okay, so I'm hearing that Vince?
Then I would make a motion that we, along with the panels, do a one-on-one council interview at the choice of the council member, no longer than a half an hour.
Followed by panels?
I believe I said.
Yeah, okay.
Panels. I was going to ask if maybe we wanted to do the panels first before you did the one-on-one.
That's not a bad idea.
That would give us information.
And then you could follow up individually with stuff later?
Yeah.
That's
Is that a motion on the floor, Councilmember Cavallari? Are you amending it then?
That was a motion with no second, so
okay.
It's
right. And do we really need a motion to do this? Can't we just reach an agreement on this is how we're going to do it?
The panel might be a good idea first, because then something might, I might write something down and say, you know, I want to talk to him about this or her about this personally. You know, he or she made mention of this. And rather than spend time drilling that person, maybe I just want to kind of make myself a note, ask that person about this.
Would be good.
So follow-up
questions that we might ask during a panel interview would be held for the one-on-one.
Yeah, I think so.
If you formulate
it. Panel, and then the one-on-one would be a better way, maybe.
And we're still going to meet afterwards to compare notes and caucus on the qualifications.
Okay. So your deep in thought.
Well, I'm just thinking. I had not even thought about this. That was a good suggestion by Colin to switch it around. Maybe that solves my aversion of the one-on-one, because I wanted to make sure we had substantive panel stuff. But if we do the panel stuff first and then follow up, it makes more sense for me to not chit chat. Like Donna said, you know, you could spend 20 minutes just not really getting somewhere. But if we've all been exposed to them in the morning through the panels, then following up makes some more sense. That's a chance for them to talk to us.
Yeah.
I really got an issue about this, or you said something this morning I'm confused about. Then they get a chance to have a conversation with us. We can use the 20 minutes for whatever makes sense to us. I like that.
What do we mean by panels? I thought we were doing a full council with one member.
That's what we mean.
That's the panel.
Seven of us is a panel.
Yeah, we're not talking to split us into groups. Okay.
No.
Oh, sorry. No.
No, it's all of us, and then we'll do the one-on-ones in the afternoon after lunch.
Okay, so let me make a crazy suggestion. You guys can shoot me down later. If we're doing the panels first, we do have some people traveling from a different time zone, so we could put them earlier in the day, if we're willing to go earlier in the day. Because doing the panels, they're only going to be on tap for an hour, and then they're going to be chilling for 4 hours, and then we'll have lunch, and then we've got one-on-ones. It makes a longer day for us, but it makes it so it isn't quite so crazy. But we could start a little bit earlier, we're willing to, and have, I'd really like to have an hour panel with each of them, the full council with each of them, so that burns 5 hours before lunch. But if we started at 7-ish, or 7 something or other.
Or maybe 7:30.
Is 7:30 and a 12:30 lunch, or?
Or you could start at 8, be done at 1, and then have half an hour for lunch, and then 30 minutes each would be another 2.5 hours. I don't know if there's 7 of you.
We're running out of time if we.
I think we probably need to start at 7:30.
That's fine. I mean, this is a good.
Normally you'd say, oh, I don't want to make a candidate come at 7:30, but we could say, gosh, you're from out of town. Would you? Yeah. You're in a different time zone. Could we?
Yeah, this is 9 o'clock for you. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay, is that fair?
I think so.
Okay, Kelly, can you put that together in a matrix so yes. It all works?
Yes.
Well, I'll do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do this so often.
Okay,
yeah,
and
please.
I will just find places for all of you. There's probably going to be some offices, one in here, one in the conference room.
Yes, you just rotate.
Oh, for the afternoon thing, we're going to have to go.
I'll be playing traffic cop, so.
We have to have 5 places. We almost be
no,
better if we trend.
7 rooms. Yeah.
No, but there's only 5 of them. Do we have 5 rooms and we come and visit their room?
You could rotate.
Yeah, because two of you will not be doing, you'll have open slots as indicated here.
Right.
I'll figure it out.
And we also have room
next door.
Yeah.
Because then we could take the travel time. If we got somebody next door, we could put them at the annex, but we could take our 10 minutes or 15 minutes to get over to the next
one.
Right.
Our little break.
We could use a break.
Okay. So we're good with that. The interview questions.
I think the question is, do we want to between now and then agree on a list, or do we want to quickly do it Friday morning?
I'd like to do it Friday morning. We're going to get together a few minutes early.
Well, one thing I might suggest is that all of you just send me a question or two that you'd like to ask, and then I can compile them Friday morning, go through the list, and decide if you want to ask all of them. Probably want to ask probably 2 questions each.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you can see if we're overlapped. Mark Bond and I both had the same question. You can say, hold up, think of another one. I like that.
Okay.
I like that kind of having you help us.
Everybody send Colin two questions for the panel.
Send it through Kelly.
Yeah, probably good.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think is there a way, Shane, to do this? That I want to be a little bit secret about the questions. We don't want somebody to find out what the questions were ahead of time. Is there a legit way for us to get the questions through the public records process without making them out there? I mean, you want everybody to be equally uninformed about what the questions are before when they arrive Friday morning.
Right. And so how would they get to the public? I guess I missed a step in why you think.
Well, if we're emailing them to Kelly and then Rich says, hey, I want public records requests for all emails to Kelly about interview questions, boom, Rich is blown.
I don't know.
I
was asking.
Yeah, but you have 5 days to respond. We'll be done with them by then.
It's all part of executive session. Upcoming executive session.
Yeah, wait until within 5 days to send them over.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Can we bring him Tuesday night to the meeting?
Yeah. I was gonna let you guys know, Landy and I looked at the schedule. We have a little bit of time on the 14th to finalize those questions if you want to take that time. And or as Colin said, Friday morning you can talk.
But Friday morning is going to be early to begin with. That also,
yeah. No, let's just send them to Kelly. Don't send them before Tuesday, and that way we're within 5 days.
I'm just going to bring mine in on Tuesday.
Okay.
And then talk about it Tuesday night?
Do we want to talk about our questions Tuesday night or just send them to Kelly? We have to have an executive session, so what's the pleasure?
Yeah, I don't recommend talking about them in executive session.
Good. Then we'll just send them to Kelly.
I think we at least need to identify whether or not we've got
you. Colin's going to be able to.
Yeah.
We'll get the list after Kelly.
And that'll
happen.
Send them to Kelly to keep it all clean, but then Kelly's going to share them with Colin, and Colin's going to say, whoops, we got overlaps.
Yeah, and Colin will decide, like, I wouldn't ask that question if I were you. Yeah, I mean, you know, if it's inappropriate for whatever reason, if there could be a problem.
Okay, and the final thing is how and when to announce the final selection. We can talk Friday evening, but unless a decision is obvious, we are scheduled to talk about it Tuesday night in executive session.
The following Tuesday night?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have two council members who can't make it on the weekend. And so we can have a special meeting on Tuesday, and it'll all be executive session, and then we'll come out and
Is that the third Tuesday? Is that why it's a special meeting?
Yes, it's the 21st.
Correct. Would you 6 o'clock?
That was the original schedule. So. And will you be, in case we have questions, would you be available by phone?
I will most certainly be available by phone.
Okay. No dental appointments.
Hold on. Just a short. Not at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any more questions about this?
If I could just say one thing.
Yeah.
Council member Michelson mentioned the possibility of an inappropriate question. A couple of general comments. First of all, in the materials, there is a little section at the end of the questions that talks about what's appropriate, what's not. Basically, you should be asking questions that relate to their ability to do a job and how they've done their job in the past. So it's experience, knowledge, skills, and abilities. You know, whether they have a wife and 6 kids is not related to how they can do their job. So it shouldn't be something that. That's a general rule. The second thing is probably in every interview setting that I do, I'll have a candidate or two come talk to me afterward and say, you know, they asked some of the inappropriate questions. It's a fact of life. It's going to probably happen. But candidates are not going to get upset, and they're not going to sue. You probably don't try not to do it, but they're not going to get upset about it, because you know what, if they would sue you for cause of ruckus, then they would never get the next job. It's just, you know, if people read about it in the press. So do your best to stay away from it, but the reality is you're probably not going to have an issue. And having said that, there's always a case where something happens. I've done 150 of these and we've never had an issue on it. So
We've got 3 minutes left. Yeah, Mike?
I've got another question for you. So you and your colleagues have collected this material. We've got a writing sample from the candidates. You've collected references that you've, both from references they have provided, but also ones that you've found, which is great. There are a lot of people that weren't obvious, which I think you guys did a good job of. Tell us, is it appropriate or not appropriate for any of us to go and do other checks about somebody? My sentiment is I think that's probably not a good idea, although I want to hear the pros and cons and what trouble we can get into. You know, you don't really want us picking up the phone and calling one of their references that's already been talked to. I think that's totally inappropriate. But some of these folks who might go, well, I know somebody who might know somebody who might know somebody. I'll call my buddy Sam and ask him what they know. I'm not sure we want to be doing that, but tell us what you think.
Yeah, it's if you have questions, it's best to channel them through us and we can follow up. And it may be something you'll see in the references that you want to follow up on. The first one we did in Washington State was Fife, and we had a council member who decided to do his own investigation. So we basically lost one of the candidates, probably the guy who got the job. It turned out the guy did get the job. They loved anyway, but probably the first choice backed out because he just thought this is crazy. You know, I mean, well, my mother-in-law's getting a call or something like that.
Yeah.
So all seven of you did it. I mean, gosh. So it would be best if you channeled it through us.
But channel through you. So if I got a concern about such and such, it's entirely appropriate to call you and say, hey,
absolutely.
Or I know somebody, or what do you know about this?
Yeah.
Okay. Will we run into trouble, Shane, if we, I guess if four of us call and ask the same question, then there's a problem.
Asking him to ask the same question?
Yeah, four of us call and say, we all want you to.
Those are one-way communications between you and someone who's not a council member. Now, he shouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, council member this, and this asked. The OPMA covers conversations between yourselves, deliberation between yourselves, so that you can have a chain discussion through telephone between each other. But if you're discussing with someone who's not a council member and they're not sharing the thoughts collectively, I think that you're okay with that. What the OPMA is trying to protect is your guys' deliberations and discussions amongst yourselves, and as long as he's not conveying to you what each of you said, then you're not really creating a meeting. I think that's okay. You're just sharing your thoughts. No different than
saying, Val, and that's a good thing. That makes sense. So if some of us happen to all say, geez, I wonder about this, would you check into it? You're just going to go, yep, I'll check into that. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Hey, anything else tonight? Any audience communication? Good. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Val.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.